Tetris.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, you are lifted. Y'all know that's what they're going to be declaring in heaven, right? That's what they're going to be declaring in heaven. Amen. Can we all say that together? Blessings. Oh, blessings. Wisdom. Jehovah Adonai, that means Lord. That means he's Lord over us. And I don't know about you, church. I'm so glad he's Lord over me, because there is a way that seems right to Marlon, and in the end is my destruction. But because he's Lord over my life, amen, he'll lead me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm glad that he's my Savior, but I'm glad that he's my Lord. He is Adonai. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Y'all, we feel that. Y'all know there's a Thanksgiving spirit? Y'all know that spirit? It's that spirit when we ate so much turkey on Thursday and too much leftover macaroni and cheese and collard greens. And potato salad, if you was in my house, and roast and fried chicken on Friday and Saturday, that we too heavy in spirit to give God praise on Sunday. Amen. But thank God that the Lord has given us flat-footed preachers in Community Baptist Church that don't preach for response and reaction, but we tell the truth in love. Amen. 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 Because God is worthy. He's worthy, church. He is worthy. So just give an honor to him. Amen. And glory to the God of our salvation. Amen. To Pastor Wright, to Minister Tolbert, to Deacon Wright, to all the deacons, to everybody in the building. Amen. We greet you in the joy of Jesus' love. Amen. And guess what? And I say it all the time, but guess what? Y'all, I got a timer up here this morning. It is not my intention to be up before you long this morning. But after I get done praying, I'm going to hit start. This don't count. Amen. But if you have your... Amen. To my wife, amen. Just thank God for her. Amen. Amen. We want to turn to the... we have two passages of scripture to read in your hearing this morning. Ephesians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at the 14th verse, and Romans chapter 5, starting at the first verse. something else here. Amen. 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 It's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Starting at the 14th verse, where the word of the Lord reads, "For this cause," this is Paul, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in," somebody say love, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ," to know the love of Christ, man, "and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Then he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. And then in Romans chapter 5, Paul also writes, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God," of the glory of God, of the glory of God. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing, church, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope or assurance, and that hope maketh not ashamed," or it does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And our focus text is here in, is that verse right there, that fifth verse in chapter 5, but also in this 19th verse in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Amen. Amen. Where it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. 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 We thank God. And we already choose a topic for this text. We want to talk about the love that overcomes the world. We want to talk about the love, or love, that overcomes the world. The convincing, I'm adding words now, really it's the confounding love of Christ. The confounding, the convincing, the compelling love of Christ. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, we come to you this morning, O God. Father God, we just thank you this morning. We honor you. God, we reverence you. We extol you, O God. We worship you. We praise you, O God. Heavenly Father, there's not enough words in any language, O God, that can articulate, God, your worth, your value, O God. Heavenly Father, your holiness, the magnitude, the excellence of who you are, O God. But God, we can express it in spirit. We can express it, O God, in the abundance of our fellowship with you, O God. For Lord God, you declared yourself, you said, in the presence of the Lord is the very fullness of joy. A euphoria, a spiritual euphoria, O God. Lord God, that we can't even truly know, Heavenly Father, outside of the indwelling, intimate fellowship of the Spirit in us, O God. We thank you for this privilege. God, we thank you for this honor, the honor of knowing you, O God. Heavenly Father, David said, John said, what manner of love is this? God, that you would call us your sons, that you would call us your children, O God. Heavenly Father, that you would invite us into this intimate fellowship. Heavenly Father, that you had with the Son, with the Word, and the Spirit, even before the very foundation of the world. But we thank you, O God. Heavenly Father, the Lord God, that you have called us to yourself. Lord God, you freely and you willingly invited us in, O God. Heavenly Father, and you did it through the cross. And Lord God, you said that it pleased you to bruise him. Heavenly Father, that we might be reconciled unto you. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this honor. We pray right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to us this morning through your word, O God. That you would expose our continual need for you, O God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would magnify the spirit of your love. Lord, the revelation of your love to us, to a place, get us to a place, oh God, where nothing else matters. Heavenly Father, only you, only seeing you, oh God, only getting to you, oh God. Heavenly Father, Paul said, Heavenly Father, that I might apprehend that which I have been apprehended of, Jesus Christ. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are before me, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's you, O God. It's you, O God, through Jesus Christ. Help us, O God. Give us a heart to pursue you with everything that we have, O God. Heavenly Father, that we might find the very fulfillment. Heavenly Father, the very satisfaction that you lay in wait for us, O God. Heavenly Father, that you want to freely give us, O God, to deliver us from this world and everything in it that means to keep us, O God, from knowing you. Have your way right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we commend this time unto you that you might be glorified in it. Have your way. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 Love that overcomes the world. The confounding love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that love. There was a song in the world, they used to sing. It says, what the world needs now. Somebody finished it for me, right? Is love. Sweet love. Amen. I believe, and I don't even know. I don't know the heart of that person who wrote it. I don't know what they were going through at the time. But I can only imagine that they, in writing and penning the words to that song, have seen or experienced some of the very things that we see and that we experience. Amen. When our humanity or our flesh meets the very condition of a fallen world. Amen. There ain't nothing but trouble and heartache and challenge and trauma and drama. Amen. Because that's what this flesh, believe it or not, whether or not it's good for us or not, that's what our flesh craves. It craves and it longs after and it magnifies, it specializes in making minors majors. It amplifies everything that brings about the spirit of hopelessness and helplessness. It magnifies a spirit of fear and trepidation and anxiety and all of these things that we experience when we turn on the news and when we turn on social media and when we watch all these things and we see what's happening in our communities and we see what's happening politically in our world today and what's happening with the economy and gun violence and the spirit of murder and mental health and trauma and drug overdose and COVID and social unrest and all of these things, the flesh specializes in taking those things and blowing those things so far out of proportion that we're then endowed with a spirit of hopelessness and helplessness, and it creates a callousness in us, because what happens is the defense mechanism of the flesh, right, immediately goes into denial, and it tries to escape and block out the trauma, and it tries to. That's why we come into church, and so many people come into church. Not so many. Everybody comes into church having been saved. That's why we all walk in with baggage. And the challenge of deliverance from this baggage is because the spirit or the flesh has taken our trauma, and it's taken it and it has locked it away. It has locked it away to a place where consciously we don't want to be bothered with it. So we put that stuff away, but we don't realize that what the enemy does is he creates landmines in us and triggers and levers so that the smallest things trigger your trauma, trigger the stuff that we go through, right? And the next thing you know, we done blowed up in the church, or we done blowed up on the job, or we done blowed up and took it out on our kids or on our spouse. Or we just blow it up for the sake of blowing up. Because what we need to realize is that the only thing that can get to that place, that trap door, that thing that you done locked away and you done locked away with 10 locks, is the love of Christ. The love of Christ, not the love of the world. The love, it's only the love of Christ that can get there. It's the only thing strong enough and potent enough to reach us in a place. And that's why so many people, we sit and we struggle in church. We struggle. We do. And you see it manifest. Man, it gets manifest because we're having church on the surface. And the spirit of religion, right? And we got the church thing down pat. And we know how to do the church thing, and we done been in church long enough where if I start quoting the scripture, you can finish it. But it has not permeated to the place where God needs it to get, to deliver us from some stuff. And so what we do is we have the spirit of religion and we come to church every single Sunday, but we're still oppressed. And we're still dealing with a spirit of bondage. And because of that, we can't experience the true joy of God. We can come in church and we have a good time, and we have emotional church. We don't have spiritual church. We have emotional church, and the choir can sing and the music is going, and we can run around the church and we get happy and all this stuff. And don't you know that all this stuff can still happen on the surface? And then when we go back out in the world, there goes the trigger. There goes the lever. And then we wonder, Lord, what in the world? What is going on? We just had the best time in church. But yet I get on the job and they done triggered me. Or yet I get home and something has triggered. Or I looked on social media and this thing has triggered me. Why? I don't understand. We've got to allow the love of Christ. See, what the love of Christ does, it ushers in the truth of God. The love of God, the love of Christ travels. It gets through all and permeates through all those nooks and crannies and crevices of the callousness that we've picked up and has built and have built up in our life over time. It travels through those places for one reason, so that the truth of God can follow behind it and validate us. And deal with the untruth and the deception and the lie that the enemy has put on us all these years. But until we truly put ourselves in a position where we want to be loved by God, and we want the love of Christ to truly be revealed to us, we won't get there. We won't get there. See, and that's the thing. With this spirit of hopelessness and helplessness in the scripture, we know the scripture where it talks about, because iniquity has abound, what? The love of many have what? Y'all gonna wake up this morning, this turkey spirit, I'm telling you right now, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Right? The love of many have waxed cold. Right? And it's the absence of righteousness, or the lack of Christ's life and his love revealed, which creates this pervasive spirit of or this callousness. Well, that's what he means, this wax cold, where we can't even recognize love. We can't receive love, and therefore we can't give love. Right? And it creates this cycle that has to be broken, y'all. And the only thing that breaks the cycle is the very manifestation of the love of Christ. That's the only thing. Love must be revealed. We go out on our streets and we see what's happening, people overdosing on drugs. That's because the love of many have waxed cold. We see crime and we see gun violence and we see all this stuff going on politically and in the economy and all this stuff, wars, rumors of wars, all this stuff going on. That's because the love of many have waxed cold. You know who that many are? That many is the church. Because that's what breaks the cycle, y'all. It's the love of the church, or the love of Christ through the children of God, that breaks the cycle. But you know what happened? You know why it's so pervasive? Because we as the church, we react to trauma, drama, tribulation, trials. We react the same way the world reacts. When we see what's going on in the news, or we see what's happening in our communities, and we read or see what's happening on social media, you know what we do? We act just like the rest of the world act. We get angry. We get sorrowful. We experience hopelessness, and we experience helplessness. But listen, y'all, the love of Christ has to say otherwise to us. Not just for you and how you feeling and what you going through, but for somebody else that don't know Jesus Christ. Somebody else who's going through, who's lost and don't have no hope. They've got to see the love of Christ manifest from us. I heard it in the prayer Pastor White was praying. He said, and a new commandment I give unto you, that we what? That we love. How? Like Christ loved. And it's by this that all men will know, other people will know. People on your job, people in the community, people in your own home, and especially your worst enemy. It's by this will all men know that we are his disciples. They'll know who he is, and they'll know that we have him because of the love that's manifest from our life. That's why, y'all, we can't afford to react like everybody else. We can't afford to allow what happens in this world to dictate our emotions and how we react to that thing, because there's supposed to be something on the inside of us that says different. That's why we can't get on this thing. And that's why, and see, the danger of emotional church. The danger of emotional church is that what ends up happening is we then allow our emotions to dictate everything. And then every response is a response out of how we feel. Y'all, our faith, our fellowship, our relationship has absolutely nothing to do with how we feel. It has everything to do with what God says. And we've got to learn how to believe what he says over how we feel. I'm going to even go as far to say how you feel is a lie if it does not align with what God has said to us. You know why? Because he's made too many promises, y'all. He has. He told us. He said, in this life, you might have tribulation. No. He said, there's a chance that you're going to experience some tribulation in your life. There's like a 30% chance, 40% chance, 99.9% chance that you're going to experience some tribulation in your life. No, he said, in this life, you shall 100% chance. And guess what? If you living for Christ, even more so, you shall have tribulation. But guess what, y'all? He made us a covenant promise in that. He said, be of good cheer, for he's already made provision for the things that we go through. He's already made provision for the stuff that you're dealing with right now. He's already made. That's why he said God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's not of him. These things, anxiety, all this stuff are not of God. They're not of him. Listen, and some of y'all are going to get mad with what I say, but I'm telling you, listen, we have to speak truth from the pulpit. In the life of believer, in the life of a believer, guess what, y'all? The spirit, and I'm going to call it a spirit, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of depression, bipolarism, and all these things should not exist in the child, in the life of the child of God. It should. I'm not saying you won't be attacked with those things. What I'm saying is these things should not have dominion over us. He's told us too many things otherwise. And those things are the fruit of this world, of what we see, what we hear, what we think, how we respond, how the flesh responds to what's happening in this world. That's what that comes from. But the word of God and the love of Christ have to be built up in the child of God to a place and a point where we believe God has to. Can we honestly sit here and say, oh yeah, it's the will of God that I be depressed? It's not the will of God that you be depressed. It's the will of God that I be anxious and I take these. That's not the will of God. It's not his will. He said, I come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. But when we become subject to those things, what we do is we deny the truth of God in our lives. See, the love of Christ has to first permeate so that it can usher in what God says about us and himself to our hearts. Has to. Ain't no sense of us coming in here playing church and going back out in the doors and be subject to everything that the world wants to put on us. That's not what God has called us to. Does anybody believe that? I'm serious. I'm not trying to do the church thing, call and response. No, seriously, ask yourself. Don't even say it audibly. Ask yourself, do you truly believe that? Because I'm telling you right now, that's what God wants for you. He wants us to, he said, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures. This is the will of God for our lives. And we've got to get to a place where we stop allowing the world and the world's circumstances to defeat us. Because that's not what God wants for us. And this was Paul's prayer. This was Paul's prayer in Ephesus, or to the Ephesus church, and this was his declaration to the Roman church, that our hearts be broken. That's what he means when he says in Ephesians, rooted and grounded. And that's what he means when he says in our other text, in Romans chapter 5, when he says that that the love of Christ be shed abroad in our hearts. He's talking about us being broken, convinced, compelled, and persuaded by the love of Jesus Christ to a place that we would get so lost in the love of Christ that it will propel us to a growing and a progressive fellowship with God and a perfecting faith in him. This is his desire for us. And this was Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And this is what he was challenging the church in Rome to. Life, the life and the love of Christ, that his life and that his love would be our living experience. See, y'all, there's a difference. There's a difference in his word or his life and his love being our living experience versus us coming to church and having church on the surfaces and getting happy in church and then going out in the world being our living experience. Listen, as the believers, as the children of God, and guess what, y'all, I ain't got this thing down pat. Let's get that straight right now. I'm not claiming that I practice this perfectly. I fail more times than I don't. But what God desire is for this thing to be our living way, our living experience, that we might walk and live in the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ in all situations. In the good times and in the bad times, when things are going well at home or whether things are going bad on the job, regardless of what's going on, he wants us to live in the experience of God's love and his life. That's what he was dealing with in our text. When we look at this prayer, it actually in both texts. Right? When he talks about verse 16 of chapter 3, he says that he would grant you, listen, according to the riches of his glory. Listen, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, right? And then let me read this other one, then we won't talk about it for a second, right? And then if you go to chapter 5 in Romans, he says, listen, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God, right? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, by whom also we have what? Access, right? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of what? The glory of God. How are all these things connected? Because the glory of God, when he talks about the glory of God, he's talking about the presence or the life of God that lives and dwells in the life of the believer. He's talking about the beauty or the riches of our fellowship with him. Listen. We don't even have time. Never mind. We ain't got time. Right? He's talking about the riches of this life. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, right? 26, right? Paul prayed another prayer. And he talked about it, and it's in the same context of this chapter right here, right? When he talks about it in Colossians 1, look at what he says. Verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation. This is the same. He's talking about the dispensation to the Gentiles, the message of salvation for them to understand this mystery that was even before the very foundations of the world, that Christ's coming was for their salvation as well. No longer were they an ostracized people from the grace and the love of God, right? So he's letting them know. This is what he was letting them know in this third chapter of Ephesians. And this is what he's letting them know in this first chapter of Colossians as well. He says, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints,
to whom God would make known what is, listen, the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what, y'all? Christ in us. Christ, the riches of the glory is Christ's life in us. Right? Look at, that's the same thing he's talking about in verse 16 of our focus text. That he would grant you what? According to the riches of his glory. That's Christ's life in us. That represents our fellowship.
Got to set my time.
That represents our fellowship with him. Right? And that's where we're validated. It's in, listen, y'all. It's in fellowship with Christ that we're validated, that we're affirmed, that we're built up. And it's that, and it's that, and it's that, and it's that process, because it's a process, that gives us victory over this world. See, listen. Listen, you can't walk as much, and we can say in ourselves, in our minds, and we can repeat whatever we want to repeat, and we can get up in the morning, and we can think positively, right? And say to ourselves, man, I'm a walk with my head up high, and all this other stuff, and I'm not going to be bothered by this, and I'm going to just be happy. You know, people just believe that. They just make themselves happy, right? Listen, there's too much. There's too much going on in this world for us to consistently. And that's why people live like this. Up and down. One minute you're high, next minute you're low. One minute you're happy, next minute you're sad. One minute you got joy, the next minute you're angry. This is what life is like. Absent of Christ. So what do? We try to fill it with stuff. Stuff that breaks. Stuff that depreciates. Stuff that runs out, stuff that runs off, stuff that dies, all this stuff. And then it gets worse because it's a false sense of security. And one minute I got it, then it runs out, and then I crash even the more. And all it does is it propels me into an even more greater state of instability. And that's why he could say a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Because he's up and down, in and out, trying to find something in this world that only Christ can give us. Only revealed through the love of God. Only revealed by his love. Only manifested in his love. And this is what Paul was trying to let us know. This is what he was dealing with when he says in verse 19 that we might be, well, we'll read the whole verse. He says, and to know what? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We're going to deal with that in a second. He says, for what purpose? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So listen, so what he's done is he's loved us with a holy love. And he goes on to describe, and we don't have time to go through it all, but if you look at it, he describes the very magnitude of his love in verses 18 and 19, right? When he talks about the depth and the length and the height and the width. He's describing the great intensity, the great magnitude, the overwhelming, indescribable love of Christ, the manner of which God has loved us. He's describing that to us, and his desire is that we might know it. For what purpose? That we might be filled. Because it's what I talked about earlier. Because it's the love of God that ushers in the truth of God. And the truth of God is, the truth of God comes in the form of the Word of God. And the Word of God represents the very life of God. So So when the word of God comes in and it ushers and it starts to deal with the callousness of my heart, and it starts, you know, it gets into the cracks. And once it gets into the cracks, it starts to expand, right? That's what's going on with my driveway right now. I got cracks in my driveway. And so me and my son, we messed up. We tried to fill it, right? We tried to fill it with the blacktop. You know how you do the blacktop, right? With the sealer, right? We tried to seal it in there, and it didn't work. It didn't work. And man, he said, "Dad, when it snow." Man, and then we saw the driveway. You know what's going to happen? He said, "Man, that's all going to get in them cracks. Them cracks that were this big are now going to be this big." And that's what the love of, but that's in the positive way. That's what the love of Christ wants to do. Because guess what, y'all? The Bible says we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. I heard Minister Tolbert teach on this, right? Talking about we're born absent. We're born absent because sin is unrighteousness. We're born absent of fellowship and agreement in the life of Christ. And therefore, iniquity then abounds by way of this world exposing us to the trials and the tribulation. And it puts stuff on us. It puts false identity on us. It puts doubt on us. It puts all kinds of stuff on us, right? So we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And it builds up a callousness of the heart, where the love of Christ has to come in and get in the crooks and the crevices of the callousness so that it can expand and start to open up our hearts so that we can not only receive the love of Christ, but we can also receive the truth of God and receive the truth of Christ. And as he and as his truth gets in our heart, what he thus does is he reveals the very life of Christ. And that's why the love, and that's why he loved us before he commanded us. That's why he loved us before he instructed us. He sent his love while we were yet still in our sins so that he could get our attention. So then he could follow his love with his truth. But if we reject, or not even reject, but if we don't know, not know, but know, if we don't know the love of Christ, not talking about the love of the world, y'all. Not, it's not the same. It's a different kind of love. The love of the world is a conditional love. It's a love that loves based on what you do and how you perform. The love of Christ is unconditional. Has nothing to do with what you do or how you perform. He gonna love you anyway. He, as a matter of fact, he loved you before you were even created. He sent his love. He said he met us in love. The Bible says we've not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but it's with the precious blood of Jesus Christ by which he foreordained even before the foundation of the world. In other words, he made provision for our salvation even before he created us. In other words, he knew we was going to be a hot mess. He knew it. He saw our sin even before he created us, but yet he loved us. Because he could have threw it away, y'all. He could have said, scratch that. But he loved us. He loved us anyhow. And that's the love. And this is the thing, y'all. And I was sharing with the foundations class a couple weeks ago. That's been my prayer for about two straight months now. Lord, reveal your love to my heart. There's no doubt. I love him. I love him. I love him. But guess what? His love has no ceiling. And my desire is that God show me your love. Not a love. You ain't. And I made it clear. God, you ain't got to prove nothing to me. There is nothing new that you have to do for me today. You ain't got to do nothing new for me. I want to know the love that caused you to go to the cross. That's the love I need you to reveal to my heart. Because I know if I know that love, not know that love, but know that love. If I know that love, then I know I'm going to be convinced that there's going to be nothing that you tell me to do. I'm not going to hesitate Once I know that love, and once I know that love, there's going to be nothing in this life that's going to be able to convince me that you love me. No situation. That's where he wants to get us to, y'all. Do you understand? And listen, Paul is a witness. Paul gave up everything. He gave up everything because he was convinced of that love. What did he say? He said, those things that were once gained to me. What did he say, y'all? I count those things as loss. He said, I count those things as dung in comparison to the excellency of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know why? Because he was convinced. That's where God wants to get us to, y'all. Aren't you tired? I'm tired. Seriously. I'm tired. I'm tired confronted with this stuff. Every single day, it's the same thing, y'all. Guess what? It don't change. And we can make pretend and make believe, and we can try and grab as many things as we want to try and create a way of escape for what we face every day in this life. But guess what, y'all? It don't work. All of it is vanity and vexation of the spirit. I'm telling you. Even the stuff that we get to try and replace, it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's built to vex you. You thought you needed it till you got the bill. I thought it was all good, but you know, it's a plan. Oh, I get this plan. It's good. $40, $50, $60 a month, whatever it costs. Till you realize that the phone costs over $1,000 and you're paying for that. And the minute you get it paid off, right, Pastor Wright? It break it, you got to go order another one. That's how they keep you. That's a microcosm of how the world operates. To keep us in bondage and oppressed. To keep us looking for fulfillment and happiness in things that break and depreciate. But the love of Christ will never fail. Never runs out. Never gave up on us. The Bible says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drawn you. An everlasting love has no beginning. It has no ending. And guess what, y'all? Has no interruption. No matter what my raggedy ratchetness, it does not matter. It will not keep him from loving me. But we'll sit in church. Just as, man, and some of y'all ain't even got y'all mind on the message y'all thinking about tomorrow, because you've been off for 2 days, and oh man, now I got to go back to work and deal with Sally and Jane and all this other stuff. Y'all know that's why y'all laughing. And the thing is, this is the thing. This is why he's loved us the way that he's loved us, to take out, to get us focused on him. That's why he's loved us that way, y'all. Do you know that he could have just said, serve me? And we would have had no choice. But instead, he chose to love us. That he might get us. That he might convince us. That he might compel us. And I'm telling you right now, you want victory over this stuff you're going through? Fall in love. Fall in love. Listen, y'all. Listen. The answer, and understand what I'm about to say, because I know how the flesh works, but I'm going to say it. The answer is not in church. The answer is in your relationship. And when you got a relationship, you'll come to church. See, because somebody said, oh, the answer ain't in church. Oh, I ain't got to come to church. No. No. When you fall in love, you'll come. Because this is where the principle is introduced. So you can go back to your closet in love. And meditate on the love of Christ, that he might continually build you up in him. That's what this thing is all about. And this is what he got. And so listen, I'm going to skip all this here. I got two quick points. And there are two quick points. If we're going to have victory over this world, We've got to, number one, we've got to know the love of Christ. And number two, we've got to show the love of Christ. You got to know it. And you've got to show it. And this is what Paul was talking about here in verse 19. And in verse 3, right? He says, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, right? And then he says that the love of Christ. Let's get it right. And he says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See, and this is the problem. The problem in the world and the problem in the church is people don't know that they love. This is the problem. That's why there's so much hopelessness in the world. And that's why there's a spirit of hopelessness in church. Because people's heart, they know God loves. But what happens is we hear so many things in church that we take it for granted. Because guess what, y'all? That's what the flesh does. You'll hear it and you hear it. And you hear it and you hear it. And don't get me wrong, it's good for you that you hear it over and over again. But guess what? Man, there's a world that's waiting, just like the parable that Christ talked about, that's waiting to snatch the seed. Once you hear it, that's why we've got to go in our closet and meditate. That's why the word of God has got to get in our hearts, because the enemy does not have access to your closet. Guess what, y'all? The enemy sits in church every single Sunday and he's waiting. And guess what? He shouts in church because he enjoys having church on the surface. He loves it. He loves church on the surface. Because he knows as long as we have in church on the surface, the word of God and the life of Christ is not going to penetrate the heart. He knows it. Yeah, just give him praise. Everything going to be all right. Keep believing that lie. We've got to take the word of God and we've got to get somewhere with it. We've got to sit in the word of God so that we'll know. If you don't, you'll only ever know. And when I tell you this thing right here is a mess. This mind is a mess. You know it. You know what you done thought. You know what you done contemplated. This thing is a mess. God has to deal with that. The Bible says it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's the heart. And we've got to know the word. We've got to know it. We've got to know it in our heart. It's got to get in us. It's got to get in us. We've got to get in that place where we know it in our heart. Right? We've got to be broken to it. He said, shed abroad. Shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, right? In other words, he's talking about the validating testimony of God's love, continually reiterating and reinforcing in our spirit by the Holy Spirit who we are and how much God loves us. That's what he's got to do. Listen, don't y'all know that that's what the Sunday school lesson was all about? The weapons, putting on the full armor of God. That's what it's all about. It's all about the word of God getting in our heart. And that's why he talks about it. It talks about, and the sword of the spirit, right? Which is the word of God, right? Because it's the spirit of God that testifies, and continually, if we'll listen close enough, it's screaming at us, I love you. I love you. I know what the world is saying about you, but it's screaming to us. That's what the cross did. It screamed, it declared the love of Christ to us. So loudly that it will block out all the noise from the world, but we've got to be in position to hear it. And you're not in position just coming and listening to sermons. We position ourselves to hear from God when we spend quiet time with him, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law or the word of God, and in his word does he meditate. Once a week. On Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays. Day and night. We got to know it. We got to know it. We have to know what he says about us. It's shed abroad and it bears witness to us. And it overwhelms us. That's why John, we talked about it earlier. That's why John can say, what in the world? What manner of love is this? What kind of love is this? That he would call me his son. And it's spiritually discerned. That's the other thing. And then we're going to go to our second point and then we'll be done. But it's spiritually discerned, y'all. That's what he's talking about. Listen, 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Listen. But as it is written, listen, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of a man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Listen, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Why, y'all? Because the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Right, then he goes on. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us, that we might know these things, which things also we speak not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth. It's not the wisdom of man, and it's not the love of man. It does not compare, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But listen, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. And that's what Paul means when he says to know a love that passes knowledge. A love that doesn't make sense to our carnal minds. It's a confounding love. It doesn't make sense that God would love us the way that he's loved us. It doesn't make sense that God would look that. Listen, he said his love covers a multitude of sin. It does not make sense that God would see our wretchedness and not turn his back on us. But yet instead he would love us. It's foolishness. And that's what I mean. We got to know it in our heart, because the carnal mind is enmity. It is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law or the word of God. It don't want to believe the truth of God. It naturally rejects the truth of the gospel. And neither can be. That's why he says it's what the heart man believes unto righteousness. We ain't here, we trying to build head knowledge. No, stop trying to get head knowledge and get heart knowledge. We need to get this thing in our heart. You know why? Because when we know it in our heart, nobody can convince us otherwise. Guess what, y'all? When I know it in my mind, if you tell me a lie long enough to my mind, I'll start to believe it. Especially if I ain't got no truth to come against it. But when I know something in my heart, and we've got to understand the trick and the wiles of the devil. That's what they were talking about Sunday school. Talking about the wile, put on the whole armor of God. Right? That we might be able to stand in the wiles of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. He's a deceiver and a liar. And guess what? He wants to tell you that God don't love you. He wants to tell you that you're not saved. He wants to tell our young men that they're women and our young girls that they're boys. He wants to feed us a lie. And if we don't know the truth of God's love, guess what, y'all? We're going to believe it. So we got to know it. We got to know it. Second point, We got to show it. You know why we got to show it? And it's what I talked about earlier. The way you break the cycle, the only way the cycle of this hopelessness, helplessness, whatever we got going on in this world is broken, is through the love of Christ. But it's got to be manifest through us. And if we don't, first and foremost believe that we're loved, we'll never, ever be able to show anybody else. We can talk about it. We can talk about it. Oh, Christ loves you. God loves you. God loves, but people can't believe what you say past what you show them. We've got to show people the love of Christ. And this is what Paul was talking about when he says, listen, now unto him, verse 20, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, he's referring back to how he opened up his prayer. When he talked about in his prayer and he asked that God would grant us according to the riches of his glory, which is Christ in us, right? Right? To be strengthened with might by his spirit. Where? In the inner man. Then he goes on to talk about a love that ushers in the life of Christ or the word of God. To this end, that we might be so convinced to the point where we give up. See, this is the difference between the world and the love of Christ. Both want to bring you to a place of submission. The world wants to beat you down to a place where you've submitted and totally given up. The word of God wants to chisel you to a point where you totally and submit and surrender your life so that he can build you up. This is the difference. And the problem is too many of us are falling for the latter instead of living in the former. Wait a minute. No, we're falling for the former. Thank you. Instead of living in the latter, we got to live in the love of Christ. Because it's the love of Christ that builds us up. Why? Because the more I fall in love, the more I surrender to him, the more I surrender to him, the more he lives his life through me. When he's living his life through me, guess who's showing up at work, y'all? My raggedy, run-down, trifling self ain't showing up at work. He's showing up at work. Guess who's showing up in the community? He's showing up. Guess what, y'all? Some of us ain't got it yet. Guess who's showing up in church? He's showing up in church. That way, when they look at you funny, you ain't got to get upset. Oh, so-and-so, she didn't want to sit next to me. She purposely went and sat in the other pew. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong? Well, that's the devil lives in that stuff. Oh, pastor, he didn't call my name today, but he called her name. Why he called her name? What's so special about her? What's so special about him? Why is he doing? The enemy lives in that stuff. But when I'm validated, when I'm validated in the love of Christ, guess what? I don't even, don't know disrespect, because y'all know that's my best friend. I love my pastor, but his voice don't even matter. All you hear is what God is speaking to you. And he's got so many words of affirmation for you. He's told you, he said, I love you with an everlasting love. He said, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. He says, you're a marvelous work. He tells us so many wonderful things about us, but so many of us are walking around with a depressed spirit because we don't believe it. We're caught up, and I heard it in his prayer. He said, Lord, help us stop getting caught up in dead things. Stop practicing in dead things. You want to know what a dead thing? A dead thing is anything but the word of God. You know why? Because everything else is going to pass away. But his word is going to stand forever. That means it's the only living thing. And that's what we need to be operating in. And when he's living, when that love, when I'm convinced of that love, and I've submitted and I've surrendered unto him, and he's replacing me, because that's what it does. Guess what, y'all? When he's living, now we cooking with grease. You know why? Because now he can do the things that he can do. See, and we said it last week. God has not, and we're done. You can stand. God has not called us. God has not called any one of us to do the things that we can do. Seriously. He's not called us. Y'all, God ain't, as my mother would say, stunting our talents and gifts. Our talents and gifts are messing the church up. Seriously. Listen, I got no business on nobody's choir, on nobody's organ, and sure enough, ain't got no business in nobody's pulpit. If the love of Christ has not convinced me to die to myself so that he can live. No business. But guess what, y'all? When he's captured my heart, then he can use us to edify. Then he can use us to bless somebody else. But other than that, it's just your talent. Ain't nobody ever got saved because of talents and gifts. Nobody. No matter how anointed you want to call them because they sung it a certain way or played it a certain way. Ain't nobody, I guarantee you, nobody's ever gotten saved because of somebody's talent and gift. You know how they got saved? Because they saw a love that confounded the mind. Because only that love will convince you that you need somebody other than yourself. That's it. It's the only thing. And my prayer today for myself and for everybody in this place under the sound of our voice, that we might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that confounds us, that convinces us that the stuff just don't matter. The stuff, whatever the stuff is. Could have been something somebody said. Something that somebody did. Something you experienced as a child. Whatever it is, I promise that the love of Christ is greater. He said, and I'll give you greater grace. He said it. He didn't say it for us to sit and fancy it. He said it that it might be our living experience. He did. Y'all, and we gotta see it for what it is. We do. We do. And there might be one here today that does not know. Because I'm telling you right now, salvation starts with the love of Christ. It does. Because that love leads to repentance. And that repentance is a requirement for our salvation. It exposes our need for a Savior. And if you've not seen that love, we invite you today. Man, it's so plentiful. It is. Man, there's not, man, listen. That's why, man, I can't wait. Man, I can't wait to get that glorified body. You know why? Because that's the only thing that's going to be able to even be able to stand in the intensity of that love. I'm serious. But guess what? He gives us a glimpse of it now. You can know it. If you don't know that love and you want to know that love, we ask you to come. We ask you to come today. As the choir sings, we extend a second call. The beauty of that love, though we may have strayed, it's a love that keeps calling us back to himself. It's a reconciling love. And if you're in broken fellowship, man, that love says, come on. Come on so I can love on you. It's waiting for you. We ask you to come. If you desire prayer, we ask you to come to the altar. You can come to the altar if you desire prayer. Y'all hear this song? Say that again. Can we say that? God is the joy and the strength of my life. He is our life, y'all. God is the joy. He promised. Fast and pray and meditate. How many want to go? How many want to go? God is.